500 nights under fire. That's how long one infantryman and machine gunner has spent on Ukraine's front lines under constant threat from Russian soldiers, drones, and missiles. His Ukrainian unit, once numbering 32 soldiers, has been whittled down to single digits. Tours in the trenches stretch on for months. Reporting from the foxholes, Scott Peterson finds that though the shape of warfare is changing, the wishes of soldiers remain the same. Small comforts, like chocolate that they loved in childhood, a safe return to their families, an end to the war. New Mexico, meanwhile, is bringing a novel healing approach to one of the most prominent unresolved issues of our times. Victoria Hoffman writes about the state's investigation into victim accounts of sexual abuse and trafficking crimes by Jeffrey Epstein through the lens of a bipartisan truth commission. Also, we have staff reports on what the Michigan Senate primary results signal for Democrats, with an important Wisconsin gubernatorial race nearing, and on how South Carolina may navigate the search to replace Lindsey Graham. It's Thursday, August 6th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Mackenzie Farkas. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A judge tossed out convictions for the January 6 insurrection. At the request of the Justice Department, U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta dismissed the case against members of the Oath Keepers group. Eight of the nine militia members involved had been convicted of some form of conspiracy related to efforts on January 6, 2021, to disrupt the certification of Joe Biden's 2020 election victory. Judge Mehta wrote that the DOJ had the discretion to drop the case and that he signed off on it reluctantly. Republican Representative Chuck Edwards won't run for re-election. The North Carolina congressman made the announcement after the House Ethics Committee recommended that he be censured. The Ethics Committee report found there was substantial reason to believe he violated House rules regarding sexual harassment, including heaping lavish gifts and excessive attention on two young female staffers. After much prayer and reflection, I've decided to withdraw from my re-election campaign, wrote Mr. Edwards in a post on X early Wednesday morning. He said he will complete the remainder of his term. Also, six countries have moved into a higher income bracket. Five of them, Jordan, Micronesia, the Philippines, Sri Lanka, and Vietnam, shifted from lower middle income to upper middle income in the World Bank Group's annual income classifications report. The sixth, Togo, moved from low income to lower middle income. Thanks to exports, Vietnam notched an especially impressive 8% GDP growth in 2025. In 1987, 49 countries were in the World Bank Group's low-income tier. In 2025, that number had declined to 25. Similarly, the number of high-income nations expanded from 41 to 87 over the same time period. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Many soldiers in Ukraine are spending long periods on the front lines as Ukraine struggles against Russia's numerical advantage. One infantryman, in the trenches for nearly a year and a half straight, tells us his story. Scott Peterson reports from Slovyansk, Ukraine, for the Monitor. A new report shows that some AI models can evade corporate controls and pose security threats. This raises questions about who will set the rules that govern artificial intelligence. Laurent Belsey reports for the Monitor. Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey signed into law Wednesday a bill that immigration advocates say is one of the nation's most expansive efforts to narrow state cooperation with federal immigration authorities. Cameron Pugh reports from Boston for The Monitor. A bipartisan truth commission in New Mexico aims to tell the story of what happened at Zorro Ranch, formerly owned by disgraced financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. One goal is to recommend changes in state law intended to prevent future criminal activity. Victoria Hoffman reports for The Monitor. Conservative media empires aren't just an American phenomenon. France is wrestling with its own Rupert Murdoch and the laws that might hamper him. Colette Davidson reports from Paris for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a soft way to harden homes from wildfire. With wildfires again threatening the American West this summer, Utah has become the latest state helping homeowners in high-risk areas to fortify their properties against drought-driven fire. From 2021 to 2024, the state saw the largest percentage increase in home insurance costs, a 59% hike, of any U.S. state. Yet, unlike in Colorado and California, both of which recently enacted stricter rules on insurance companies and tough building codes to harden a home from fire, Utah's plan is more partnership than paternalism. It will first nudge homeowners with information on risks and remedies and only threaten a fee for noncompliance with new codes that aim to ensure a defensible space from wildfire. Our goal is to empower homeowners, communities, fire departments, and municipalities to act in reducing their vulnerability to wildfire by giving them the necessary tools to identify and understand their wildfire risk, states an official Utah website. Whether this softer approach will ensure entire neighborhoods are fire-resistant, a necessary requirement to prevent the spread of fire from property to property, remains to be seen. At the least, homeowners who take all the recommended steps, such as installing metal roofs and clearing away brush and debris, should be better able to negotiate for a better insurance rate or obtain coverage at all. As more governments aim for proactive resilience against climate change's many threats, they are often researching tactics used to curb other problems, such as poverty. One successful model that began in Bangladesh is called the graduation approach. Those living in poverty are offered tools such as business training and a savings account to eventually graduate into earning a sustainable livelihood. Sustainability is also a key concept in curbing wildfires. Utah's experiment in getting voluntary buy-in from homeowners to fortify their properties against fire could result in long-term results. Effective climate resilience depends on local ownership, trusted institutions, and the ability of countries and communities to create or adapt solutions to their own context, wrote Tafa Swanache Mabadi, a professor at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and Mendi Dlovu, an agrometeorologist at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, in The Conversation. Climate resilience can't be built through one-way relationships, they added, where solutions are designed elsewhere and delivered to a community. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how worshiping the one God without wavering opens us to blessings and freedom and healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Emily Staunton.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.